All right, tonight, do we have the words for To Count for Jesus by any chance for the screens? I'd love for us to be able to sing that song together tonight. And wonderful, wonderful. Let's go ahead and stand tonight. Stand up for Jesus, your soldiers of the cross. Think about the message of the words tonight. Sing it from your heart.
All want their lives to count for something, to leave their mark when life is through. But vain pursuits will come to nothing. Time will erase whate'er we do. I want my life to count for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only see eternal gain.
You know, I was thinking about a message that I'm going to be bringing this week to the young people about the mask that sometimes we wear. I was convicted recently as I was reading for who knows how many time it's been that I've read it there in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, where it says, having a form of godliness. And I wonder, and I'm just talking to myself tonight and just pondering this in my heart and maybe just including you and with me in this just to think about it. Are we genuine through and through? The way I see you here, are you that way privately? I would prefer the way you are privately to be the way you are publicly. Amen? You know, every once in a while when we're singing songs in a congregation, as a congregation, you know, sometimes it's hard for me even to sing because I find myself, if I'm not careful, being caught up in just the formality of, well, this is just part of service. When if it's there just to waste time and fill up time, man, let's just not mess with it. And this is just stuff that I think about in my heart, that's all. I suppose it's rubber meets the road type of preaching tonight or sharing tonight, but just stuff that God just talks to me about. And every once in a while, I just got to stop and think about it. Do I actually mean this? Any song, any hymn. Since I have been redeemed, since Jesus came into my heart, I don't know tonight. I just don't want this week to just be a week. Not that I'm seeking to manufacture anything. It's not that. I just want to understand this, and I'll be done with this, and we'll sing this next verse. You will never get today back. You understand that? Tomorrow still lies ahead. And one day when we stand and give an account to the Lord, could it be said of us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The things in which I brought into your life, the people that I allowed to cross your path, you were faithful in being the witness and the testimony and the child of God, the genuine Christian that you ought to have been. You didn't squander your time or overlook divine appointments. Choose your own will instead of following my divine sovereign plan for your life that's always best and better than anything you can imagine. I want my life to count for Jesus. I mentioned this to the adults there in the class. I don't remember the name of the class, but it was the class we taught in Sunday school. I asked the question, who was your great-grandfather? Do you know his name? Do you know anything about his life? What did he do for a living? And whoever he was, he lived 70, 80 years. I don't know, maybe shorter, maybe longer. But he lived a life. And most of us in this room, we probably don't even know but just his first name. One day you will be that great-grandfather if the Lord tarries his coming. Only what's done for Christ will last, folks. And all that we would have an eternal perspective, a spiritual outlook in all that we say and all that we do for the Lord's glory. Amen. Let's ask ourselves that question. Is there something burning within my heart here tonight? Think about the words. Sing it from your heart if you can. Here we go. Inside my heart, there burns a question.
What was I placed on earth here for? It truly was to build a kingdom, not of my own, but of the Lord's. I want my life to count for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain.
Thank you so much for participating in that. And if you'd remain standing and grab your Bibles tonight, we'll be turning back to Psalm 40 tonight. Psalm 40. And yesterday morning, the Lord led us to ponder about having a revival, a renewing, a refreshing, a reigniting in our hearts, a revival of perspective. Have we made an extraordinary God commonplace in our hearts and lives? Have we lost our wonder with the God of wonders? Last night, preaching about a revival of patience, a revival of prayer. You know, I thought about this today. God never gave us instructions on how to get out of the valley, but rather on how to go through the valley. He says in verse number 1 of Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. The word waited and the word patiently, the same word used twice, the exact same word used twice there in the Old Testament Hebrew, I kava kava, I eagerly looked for, I hoped and I tarried for God and God alone. The God of heaven, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And as we saw in the testimony of 2 Chronicles 20, oh, that we would have the same kind of a heart and a desire. My eyes, Lord, are upon thee. I will lift up mine eyes and look into the hills from whence cometh my help. My God doesn't sleep, amen. Nothing catches him by surprise, but the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. Deuteronomy chapter number 30, verse number 8. How that God is already in our tomorrow. And oh, that we would be a people who would cry out unto him, knowing that God hears our prayers, that God hearkens unto our prayers. He listens attentively and enthusiastically upon every single word that you say unto him. You're not a bother to the Lord. I don't know about you, but that just warms me up. Amen. Wherever I'm at, whatever it is that I'm facing, no matter what time it is, I can talk to the Lord and he hears me. That God will heed my prayers. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. And that is a wonderful blessing that God will always answer our prayers. Sometimes not according to that which we want, but it's always what's best for our lives, even though we may not understand it in the moment. He, verse number 2, brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. And notice, the Bible says, and thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare them and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us tonight for the next few minutes. Lord, we're thankful for this time that we get to gather together. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless these people. Lord, making it a priority in their life to be here, to sit at your feet and having a desire to draw closer to you. And Lord, I pray that would humble ourselves before you tonight. God, I pray that you would just quiet our hearts, that you would help us to be attentive, spiritually just sitting on the edge of our seat, just waking us, waiting to soak it up tonight, Lord. And I pray that you'll please just remind us of some things that God, we must not forget. Lord, that you would use this tonight to strengthen our faith, that you would use this tonight to strengthen our walk with you and our focus and our love for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I'm fascinated with what the Bible says there in verse number 5. It says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. If you remember on Sunday morning, we briefly took some time and we mentions some of the different accounts that have been recorded painstakingly in Scripture for us. What a blessing that that is the God of the 21st century. The exact same Jesus Christ who walked on water is the exact same one that will not let any storm stand in his way from him getting to you in your most darkest hour. And all the different things that we could talk about tonight, how that God who was there for those of yesteryear is the exact same God, the same who will be there for us today. The same one that empowered David to be able to slay the giant Goliath. The same one who granted the aid and the help to obtain victory in the lives of his children there in the Old Testament is the exact same God that wants to infuse within you his sacred power to anoint you and to help you and to get you to become victorious and be that more than a conqueror. Amen. Praise the Lord tonight that he is a God of wonders, God that does wonderful works. The Bible says, though, in the second half of verse number 5, and thy thoughts, which are to usward. And just for a few moments tonight, I would like for us to linger, and I would like for us to look at a couple of things tonight, but this would be the first one, and we'll tarry however long the Lord would have us to tarry. Because I believe that this is a very profound thing that if we're not careful in our Christian lives, that we will forget about. The thoughts of God that he has toward us. But more specifically tonight, let's just narrow it down, the thoughts that he has specifically toward you. Would you join with me in your Bibles tonight? And remember, don't forget your perspective about who this God is. Amen. And run with me, if you would, to Jeremiah 29, verse number 11. I love this verse, Jeremiah 29, 11. And maybe you haven't heard of this verse. Maybe you've forgotten about it. Maybe you don't have this memorized. I encourage you to, man, hide this verse in your heart. Amen. Never forget this verse. Rejoice about the wonderful truth and the promise that we find here in this passage of Scripture. Jeremiah chapter number 29, verse number 11. We find here, and if you'd allow me to quickly read tonight for the sake of time, just wanting to keep things moving. God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." I suppose there's a couple of different ways that we could take this. Where God is saying, listen, I am the Lord. I know what I'm thinking. I am aware. I am conscious about what I'm doing. You know, I'm not being oblivious. Maybe like you would think about maybe one of your children. You know, just no pun intended to my boys, but Jonathan especially, we call him Curious George. How many of you know that cartoon character, especially you parents? Curious, that is Johnny. Amen. I mean, that kid is the sweetest boy I know, but he, you know, he's just sometimes clueless. That's not the Lord. He's not clueless. Amen. Not clueless, but he is conscious. I know the thoughts. I'm aware of what I'm saying, but it's almost as if God as well, because when you think about this generation, how that they were a backsliding, how that they were a questioning, how that they were a hesitant people, and I don't know about the Lord. I don't know about living for Jesus. I don't know about going all out for God. I'm not sure about all this Christianity stuff was, if you will, the heart that they had, but applying it to our 21st century Christianity, God was seeking to say, hey, don't doubt me. Don't you dare second guess me, son, daughter. I am God. I am sitting up high and lifted up on my throne. I know exactly what I'm thinking about. Don't you dare question me. I don't know, maybe that's the connotation that the Lord is giving us tonight. Now, why is that? Well, let's just be transparent and be honest with another tonight. There have been times in our life where we have doubted the Lord. There have been times where we have been hesitant about stepping forward by faith. There have been times where we have second-guessed. Lord, are you sure about this? And praise the Lord that we have the security and the authority and the validity of Scripture where we can see with our own eyes the black and white text of the Bible. Amen. We can take our flesh and blood finger, we can place it upon the verse, and we can claim it in our lives that God knows what he's thinking. Amen. Praise the Lord. No one is putting thoughts into his head. Rather, he is aware of, and he is in control of his faculties. Amen. I know, let's read the verse. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of what? Would you say it aloud? Thoughts of? Peace. Let's do it again. Thoughts of? All right. We're about 80% there. Thoughts of? Thank you for letting me twist your arm. Very good. Thoughts of, I'm just being facetious, thoughts of peace. Now, when you study this in the Old Testament Hebrew, it has a threefold definition. Every word of God in the Bible is there for a specific reason. Amen? And God here is teaching us thoughts of peace. He has peaceful thoughts toward you and me. But more specifically, as we consider the threefold definition of this general word that the Bible specifically used, that God's thoughts toward us as he's thinking about you specifically, that's awesome, amen, that his thoughts toward you are thoughts of safety, thoughts of success, and thoughts of happiness. That encapsulate peaceful thoughts. That's the threefold definition that is there in the Old Testament Hebrew. Thoughts of peace, they are happy thoughts, thoughts of happiness, thoughts of safety, thoughts of success. Man, he doesn't want your life to be, you know, spinning your wheels and frustrated, and God is not sitting up in heaven rubbing his hands together trying to figure out how to make your life difficult. Because he says, my thoughts toward you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This is kind of a cryptic statement here, an expected end, but really what this simply means is a good life story with a happy ending. God writes the best of stories, amen? The author and finisher of our faith. And oh, tonight that we would just calm down for a little bit, that we would fret not, as the Bible says, that we would not be dismayed or not be scared, not be fearful, hesitant about the unknown, not sure if this is the right, if God knows what he's doing, when he knows exactly what he's doing and he knows his thoughts specifically toward you. As a child of God tonight, his thoughts toward you are only that of peace, not of evil. It's wonderful tonight. I don't know, I'm just grabbing this out of thin air, but maybe tonight, every once in a while, when you think of someone, you get a bad taste in your mouth. Have you ever been guilty of that? I'll raise both hands in the air. Okay, I'll be the first one to testify, all right? It's happened to me. But when God thinks about you, never once. Peaceful thoughts. I believe that. Moving on tonight, and there's much more that could be said. Moving on tonight, let's jump in our Bibles to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, we're going to linger here just for a moment and look at verse number 17. You say, well, what about the times when I commit sin, do wrong? Well, I believe the Lord is disappointed, but yet he still loves you more than anything else. And as we've committed sin, he's standing there waiting with open arms, desiring for us to come home like the prodigal son. Amen? Thoughts of peace. Come on, my child, stop messing around in the muck and the mire. Come on, beg, please, I beg of you. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of happiness, thoughts of success, thoughts of safety. He wants us to enjoy these things. Praise the Lord tonight. I'm not preaching to the church. I'm preaching to the individual tonight. You. Just you and me tonight. Okay? Thoughts of peace. But notice also in verse number 17 of Psalm 139, the Bible makes this declaration, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Look up here, don't read ahead, I beg of you. All right, some of you are going to spoil it. But look up here, all right. When God thinks about you, his thoughts toward you, he delights in you. He loves you. I believe he dreams about you. Precious. He gets so excited. I think about my wife, I get excited. Amen. She left to go run some errands this afternoon. I text her about 5 minutes later. It's because I was stuck with all three kids and I was desperate. No, just joking. I mean, there was stuff all over the place. I'm thinking, I've got to clean this before she comes. How is it going to be possible? But no. But I texted her. I said, love you. Miss you already. I love my wife. You know, when we became boyfriend, girlfriend things, gave her a promise ring, we had made the decision. Just between her and I, we made the decision to not tell each other that we loved each other until we got engaged. That was just our little thing. So, you know, we would say sappy things like, I'm in so much like with you. Everything possible to substitute that word love for the word like. And then, man, my heart was just swelling, you know, and we believed that it would help us really appreciate that statement even so much the more when we actually said it. I mean, we already felt it. We already knew we loved each other, but to actually say those words, I love you, as I slipped. Yes, I slipped that engagement ring upon her finger. They're asking her and having this whole speech memorized and being an epic fail, but still sliding that ring under her finger and asking her if she would marry me, and she's saying yes, and then being able to say those words for the first time, I love you. Woo! My socks were going up and down. Hey, Ben. It was exciting. And then as a couple of months passed by, I believe we got engaged in October. Is that correct? Very good. And then we got married in March, so a handful of months later. I know when our anniversary is, okay? All right, very good. But when we got married, and there we are standing in front of all the people that had assembled there, I don't know, the church was filled there, and the preacher said, you may kiss the bride, and there you are taking that veil and putting it over her head, and my mind is just racing, thinking, good night. I'm about to kiss a woman for the first time on the lips. Never kissed a lady, except for my mother on the cheek, you know? That was tradition in the Garraway household. If you didn't kiss on the cheek at night, there was something wrong with you, or you were hiding something, so you better give mom a kiss on the cheek. So he did that, and I encourage you boys, it's okay. Give your mom a kiss on the cheek. Give her a hug. Tell her that you love her before you go to bed every night. Amen? But anyway, and there it was, and we were about to lip lock, amen, in front of all these people, and I could not believe it. I was like, oh, my life. Getting ready for this moment. Precious thoughts toward my wife. I whispered underneath my breath. I said, are you ready for this? I wasn't ready for it. Whew. Wow, we're in love. Fireworks going off. How exciting. But I'm being honest with you. My wife knows this. I'm more in love with my wife right now than I've ever been in my life. And I think about my wife. I think about the children that God has blessed us with. Entrusted unto us, precious thoughts. I think of David, I think of Jonathan, I think of Alyssa. Man, I get excited. Precious, delight in love with, dream about. I think about my children, their potential. I have no idea what God would have them to do with their lives. That's between them and the Lord. I just simply want my children to live by faith and to love the Lord with all their heart. They do those two things, everything else will fall into place. Because if they love God the way they should, His commandments won't be grievous, amen. They won't have to, but they get to be involved, get to serve the Lord, get to follow His word, so on and so forth. If they have a faith in God, wherever it is that God would lead them, man, there's going to be no hesitation. They're just going to, okay, here we go, Lord, I'm ready, amen. Those two fundamental things. And by the way, you'll find that. I believe it's tucked away. Let me go ahead and just fact check myself here. All right. But this is just maybe a little side note for you to be able to jot down, think about, pray about in your heart and life. But we find it there, I believe, in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. No, that's why I checked. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 5. It says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. The foundation and the basis of everything we do in life should be those things. I think about my children and their potential. I dream about them and I wonder what they're going to be able to do because I want my children to go far beyond anything that I'm able to do and anything I'm able to accomplish. And I want my life and anything that I've learned to be a stepping stone for them. I want them, maybe this is wrong, I don't know, but I want them to use me to be able to go to excel and to go far beyond. Amen? Precious thoughts. I know it's nothing in comparison to God, but He is our Father. Amen. His thoughts toward you are precious thoughts. And the next time you want to doubt Him, the next time you want to question Him, the next time you want to be hesitant concerning Him, oh, that you would just run back to the fact of the Word of God instead of just being deceived by the old devil trying to slip upon your shoulder. And this old world trying to get you to turn your eyes away from God. This old flesh trying to get in control of your heart and life, and you to be its slave, being whiplashed around to all of its whims and desires and lustful thoughts. We wouldn't allow those things to sneak up, to slither up into our life and to put a question mark where God has put a period, amen, but that we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God and His thoughts specifically toward me are peaceful thoughts, thoughts of safety and thoughts of success and thoughts of happiness. Now, I say the word success, we immediately equate that to dollar signs, right? And multiple of them. Ching, you know. Hey, but sometimes that's not God's definition of success. But all I know is this, God's definition of success is better than any other definition that's out there today. I'd rather have God's definition, I'd rather have God's desire for success in my life than anything else this world could offer. Isn't that maybe where the foundation of that great hymn of the faith comes? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Than to be the king of some vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. Oh, I'm experiencing pleasures, but they're just for a season. And they always come with a price. And afterward, there's baggage and regret, scars, chains, captivity. Are you with me? I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Take the world and give me Jesus. We'll get into that here in just a moment. Are you still with me? Would you say amen? Notice now in Psalm 139, looking at verse number 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, if I should count the thoughts that God has toward me, specifically as a person and his child, they are more in number than the what? Would you say it again? Be so kind as to say it. More in number than the what? Sand. I have here a bucket of sand. Just by way of illustration tonight. If I could have a couple of teen guys come up here real quick. Who would be the first one to jump up? All right? One, two, come on up, quickly, quickly, quickly. Sand. Let's just do something unconventional tonight. Let's go ahead and take this cup. Quickly, quickly, I beg of you. All right. We're going to take this here, and we're going to pass this out. Just pass these to different people in the audience, and you guys go ahead and grab cups of this, all right? And I'm going to go ahead and use this by way of sermon illustration tonight. But just pass out these cups of sand tonight. Why are we taking the time to do this? Because I want you to think about this. I want you to not forget this. I want you to let this settle in tonight. Sand. Now, if I was to, quickly, gentlemen, if you could, all right, just grab a cup and go, all right. Wonderful, wonderful. I want everybody to be able to pass this around, pass it around, look at it, all right, if you're able to tonight. But if I was to take the time and count, oh, let's just say I was going to count the grains of sand on my index finger tonight. Just right now with the rest of the service, we've got about, 12, 15 minutes left before we're done tonight. All God's people said, oh, I caught you. No, just joking. But anyway, I'm just teasing. But if I was to take the time and simply count the grains of sand right here upon my index finger, we'd be here for a long time. If we were to count all the grains of sand that was within this bucket tonight, all the cups that are being distributed across the auditorium this evening, if we were to take the time and painstakingly count, I think that'll be enough. I appreciate that tonight. Good job tonight. Appreciate that. If we were to count every single grain of sand that we had within that bag that we bought at Walmart, that we have here tonight in this case, in the cups across the auditorium, we'd be here for a long time. But God's thoughts specifically toward you are more in number than every single grain of sand. You accumulate every single bag of sand. You accumulate all the sand within the green turtle sandboxes. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That dot the landscapes of the backyards across America. You gather every single sand, a grain of sand, upon the beaches that line the shores of America and across the globe. And you were to somehow excavate every single trench and every single ocean bed where that's wide and deep, filled with sand, and somehow, some way, accumulate them and put them in one central spot upon this planet. And someone was able to count every single grain. God's thoughts toward you, specifically, are more in number than every single grain of sand. In your lifetime, number three, plenteous thoughts, wouldn't you say? And these plenteous thoughts that he has toward you are precious. Every single one of them, amen. There's not, 1%, you know, that's, I guess he's got a reserve for it. No, every single, God is not a liar. Amen? precious thoughts, peaceful thoughts. Every single thought that God has toward me are thoughts of safety and success and happiness. Now, tonight, please don't take this the wrong way, but I'm not here this week, or we're not having these meetings for me to spoon feed you with all this stuff. Because there's so much more that could be said. I want you to take this and then run with it in correlation with what we've already preached about. Amen? With what we've already discussed and the things that we've observed and looked at in Scripture. And oh, how wonderful I believe that we can find line upon line, precept upon precept, and see just so much glorious truth in the Word of God. Hey, there should be There should be no doubting. There should be no second guessing. But rather, our life's testimony should be that which we find in Psalm 40. Join there with me, if you would, quickly. In Psalm 40, verse number 4. Notice what the Bible says. Psalm 40, verse number 4. Blessed is that man that maketh, yep, this God right here, the one that has precious thoughts and peaceful thoughts and plenteous thoughts, the one who hears and hearkens and heeds your prayers, the one who is from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 21 or 22:21. Everything that we've discussed already in this meeting, the Lord, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Now, by the way, just something that you may want to jot down because it's really cool. It's an amazing study in Scripture just to seek out and just do a little study of just that thought of blessed is the man in the Bible. Or finding where God uses that word blessed and it's applicable to the Christian, the child of God. It is amazing. For instance, Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. God's hand of favor is going to be upon the person, upon the home, upon the church. Amen. Upon the life of someone who is going to follow that truth. Isn't that great? That's just a scratch on the surface of so many blesseds, if you will, concerning the children of God in the Word of God. But notice specifically here, the Bible says, blessed is that man, God's hand of favor. The fullness of his blessing is going to be upon this individual that maketh the Lord his trust. You know, this word maketh, it's talking about putting, or placing, or setting, or appointing someone or something. I've got a couple of different flyers here tonight, or signs, should I say. I need some more helpers from the teen guys. Amen? Come on up quickly. I need five. First five up here. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then there's 5. All right? Can you hold this one just right down there in the front? Hold that one, face the crowd. Hold that one, face the crowd. I'm so OCD. Let's try to make it, you know, even. Yeah, come on over. All right, so you're in the middle, all right? I beg of you, I'll be all off kilter, okay? All right, spread out that way. He's spread out. Very good. Okay, stop. Okay, a little bit more. David, a little bit more. Okay, don't move. Okay, very good. Blessed is that man that maketh. Now, you see a couple of different things here, different options, if you will, that we can choose. And when we come up to situations and decisions in life where we could, in that moment, appoint or place one of these things to be in control, to be in charge, to be the authority of our heart, of our minds, and of our lives. What do we find over here? Well, we see philosophy. God wants to give his people wisdom. God wants to give his people understanding. And there's a lot of good things, if you will, that's out in society. But if we're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, what will happen is many of us will think, well, if I do A, B, and C, then ultimately I should get X, Y, and Z. But understand, we've already quoted it. The Bible says it twice, so we should never forget it. There is a way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Everything is adding up. Everything makes sense. Everything's outlined. Everything should fall into place. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death, frustration, despair, spinning your wheels, not reaching your full potential. Are you with me tonight? And instead of trusting in philosophy, that we would trust in God. We find here this banner, this sign, Heavenly Father. We decided to alliterate it tonight, amen? Because it's wonderful to think about so many aspects of God. Hold it up tonight. Hold it up. Our Heavenly Father, man, He wants to hold our hands. He wants to caress us and hold us close and spend quality time with Him. He's our forgiver and friend, faithful and true. So many other things that we could consider about God tonight. Blessed is the man who will not put and appoint and place and set philosophy to be the authority of his life, but rather who's going to place God in control in everything, in every single aspect of our lives. You know, sometimes God does not go according to plan. Y'all know about that, right? The Bible says, trust in the who? Lord. With all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. Philosophy. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. What does the word all mean? Can somebody help me out? I'm losing it here. The word all means what? Everything. Every single aspect. What we consider to be trivial, nope. And I mentioned this to the Sunday school class. If you just bear with me, those who were in there, and please allow me to say this again for the rest of us here. So many times in life, if we're not careful, we're practicing segregation. We're dividing our life into the secular and into the sacred. What you're doing tonight is sacred. You're in the house of God, right? Maybe you're going to Christian school or this, that, the other. You got family devotions or spending quality time with so many things. Sacred. But everything should be spiritual. Everything. When we're driving down the road, Lord, where would you have me to gas up my vehicle today? Y'all may think I'm crazy. You probably already do, but that's okay. Amen. Just leave me alone. I'm having fun. No, but everything. Amen. Lord, what is it that you'd have me to do this and that and the other, and that we would be careful, that we would be very sensitive to make sure that God is included with every single aspect of our life. The things we think, the things we say, the choices we make, how we spend our money, the entertainment that we enjoy, everything, amen? Philosophy. There is a way that seemeth right, but the ends are over the ways of death. Don't trust in those things, but rather, as we find in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and he shall. There's no asterisk next to the word shall, you know, and then fine print at the bottom of the page to give you some exceptions. Are you with me on that? I hate fine print. You always wonder, what in the world are they trying to squeeze in there without me knowing about it? No, face value, hold that God's people would have the heart, the mindset, the life. The Bible says that I believe it, that settles it. Nothing else is going to stand in the way. Now, does that mean that we're supposed to completely forsake philosophy? That's not what I'm saying tonight. It has its proper place, but God needs to be number one and always in control. Are you with me? What is this one here? We've got finances. It was last month, I don't know how many hundreds of times I've read through the book of Proverbs. You know what I'm talking about? You know, just every day going through it once a month and things like that. And the Bible said, the first time I saw it in my life, I mean, it shocked me. The Bible says very clearly there in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 23, verse number 4, labor not to be rich. Oh, furthermore, cease from thine own wisdom. There's philosophy. The American dream is a wonderful thing, amen? It is a gift of God. It has come from the very hand of God himself for us to be able to eat, drink, enjoy the good of all our labor, amen? But it has its proper place. And folks, if we're not careful, we'll allow the American dream and we'll allow prosperity and financial success, money and materialism to corrupt us, to consume us, to control us. Now, I put those points out of line. It needs to be consume us. It's like we're so focused on, oh, man, yeah. And then before you know it, it's controlling us. And then it's going to corrupt us. The Bible teaches us that about the seed and the sower and how that as the result of the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this whole world, that it choked the word, that it became unfruitful. Let me ask you a point blank question tonight. Are you unfruitful in your Christian life? The fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of souls, because you are being controlled consumed, captivated, corrupted by finances. That money has taken your heart, temporary things that will one day not matter in eternity. Come on, it's not popular preaching. It's not easy to preach either. But man, it's biblical. You know, it's interesting that Jesus said, and we're winding down tonight. I see the one-eyed monster up there, the clock. I'm praying that God would please allow someone, just burden the heart of someone to pull the plug on that digital clock. No, I'm just joking. But the Bible says in Luke 12:15, and Jesus, he said unto them, take heed and beware. Now, if I see the sign, beware of dog, what am I going to do? Lord, I want to leave the track in the gate. I don't want to go in there up to the door. It's going to cause my senses to be alert, aware, cautious, amen. He said, beware of covetousness. Well, that's one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. What is covetousness? It's a lustful craving for more money and materialism. Not being content, but needing more, being greedy. He says, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Did you get it tonight? A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now, here's a wonderful thing. God gives us much. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. And every wonderful thing, money or materialism that we get to enjoy in life, it did not come from you, sir. But rather, as we find in Deuteronomy, the Bible says it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. God is the one who gave you the mental wherewithal and the physical capability and the strength to be able to get that paycheck, to get those dividends, to be able to make that investment. It's God. It's all God in the first place. And oh, tonight that we could mention this, to whom much is given, much is required. You know what I love? If God gives us much, we can do more. I wonder if we got a bunch of Mr. Scrooges in this room tonight. Now listen, am I trying to belittle savings? Absolutely not. The Bible teaches us that we should not be frivolous with our money or foolish with it, but we should be careful. We should lay up an inheritance for future generations. We should do this and that and be frugal with our finances. But rather, this should not control you tonight. And you don't make decisions based on your financial standing, but rather because of what God would have you to do. Is finances a bad thing? No, it's from God. But it needs to have its right place. Amen? And he should always be first. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We need to be done tonight. What is this one here? Fellow man. Doesn't the Bible tell us that we should not trust in man, but rather in the Lord? Psalm 118, verse number 8 and 9. What's the last one down there? It says feelings. Feelings. The heart. The seat of our emotions. What does the Bible say about it? It says it's deceitful above all things. It will fool you. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? I think, I got a handle on this, you know, my heart. I just feel like this is the right decision. You're practicing a secular philosophy that was made popular in a song. Listen to your heart. It's unbiblical. It is unbiblical tonight. Rather, we should have faith. You know, feelings can lead us astray. Instead of listening to our heart, we need to give our heart. Give it to Jesus. Say, Lord, this thing is a mess. You take it. You control it. You guide it. Guide it with his word. Give your heart. Guide your heart with the word of God. Guard your heart. Being a watchman. Having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Amen. I don't know if you're getting it tonight, but that right there will change your life if you can just get those 3 points right. Not letting your heart be out of control. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. What is faith tonight? Faith is, and I'm going to end with this definition. I encourage you to write it down if you're able to. Faith is believing in an invisible God to move and work in unknown circumstances for our good and for His glory. I'll say it again, don't worry, but think about that. Have you ever seen God? No. I've not seen the wind either, but I know it's real. Felt the effects of it, seen the effects of it. I know God is real. I felt the effects of Him. I've seen the effects of God. I know the Lord is real. Faith is believing in an invisible God to move and work. He's talking about orchestrating, aligning things. Believing in an invisible God to move and work in unknown circumstances. Unknown circumstances. What lies on the morrow? I like to plot and plan and schedule my day and figure out everything so I don't waste time. But you know what? I literally have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. And God forbid this happen to anyone, but someone could pass away tonight. Talk about being morbid. Wow, this is real positive preaching. But are you with me tonight? Anything could happen. But He is already in that tomorrow. Remember? Faith is believing in an invisible God to move and work in unknown circumstances for our good and for His glory. That is the kind of life that you need and that I need. Blessed is that man that, nope, not philosophy, nope, finances. These are all good things, fellow man, friends and family that can help you in troublesome times, feelings, and you know, just you know, that God created. He created emotion, but not letting that run rampant in our life. But nope, I refuse, I reject, I don't want it. Rather, God, You come. Yes, You. Come here, God. I am going to make You. I am going to set You. I am going to appoint You. I am going to place You. I want You to be in control of my life. I surrender, I submit. We don't like that word, do we? I sacrifice myself unto Thee and Thee alone. I pray that your heart tonight. Heavenly Father, please bless us as we conclude this evening. Lord, a lot of things that we quickly ran through. As we've stayed a couple of services here in Psalm 40, Lord, tonight, if we could just simply wrap our minds around the fact that Your thoughts toward us are peaceful, precious, and plenteous. God, there should be no hesitation to live by faith. Lord, that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, that whatsoever, it doesn't matter what it is, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And God, ultimately what You're looking for is that we as Your children, that we would include You in everything. It would allow You to lead us in our lives. Lord, maybe that's a foreign concept to some tonight. I don't know. Maybe it sounds weird or mysterious, but God, it is a very real thing. And God, that we would get to that point where we can sense Your leadership in our life. God, it's not a spooky thing. It's a wonderful thing. Where we feel the pressing of God in our life. After we pray and we talk to You and we seek Your face and we consult the Word of God, because after all, the Bible is a written form of You. Everything we need in life is found right there, cover to cover. God, that we would wait patiently, not wanting the answer right now. But God, if You don't lead us in our life in a specific area, that would just wait. We'll just give it to You, and we know in due time when patience has its perfect work that is when we're going to see Your wonderful providence in our life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Is there someone tonight who would say, "But the Caleb, God has encouraged me with this message"? Just thinking about the thoughts of God and how precious I am to Him and how He cherishes me and thinks about me more than every single grain of sand. I needed that message tonight. That was such an encouragement. It strengthened me. It refreshed and renewed me tonight, revived me. That's me. Would you raise your hand by way of testimony tonight? Multiple hands across the room. God bless you. Is there someone tonight who would say, "Brother Caleb, God has strengthened me tonight in my faith. God has strengthened me to continue to keep my eyes on Jesus and to believe in an invisible God, to move and work in unknown circumstances for my good and His glory." And God has really strengthened that tonight, fueled my faith. God has reignited a desire to live by faith and to include Him in everything. That's me. Would you raise your hand? Is there someone like that tonight? God bless you. Multiple hands. God bless you. In your heart tonight, just think about it. Has God convicted you about something? Has God spoken to you? Is God seeking to take a chisel and refine you tonight? That's between you and the Lord. I pray that you do business with God. Pastor Clear, would you come and lead us in invitation?
God, in those thoughts being like the grains of sand. Boy, and all he asks is that we would, just in return, just trust him. Jesus even one time said, if you'd have faith as of a grain of mustard seed. Oh, we could move mountains. We could do such great things. His thoughts to us are so overwhelming. What are our thoughts to him? Do we trust him? Do we trust him day by day? I was so convicted about that as he preached tonight. Because there are times that it seems like we don't even think about God being able to solve our problems. We don't even think about, as he's even mentioned to us, how that it's important that God be real to us. And that we ask God, God, where would you have me to buy gas? Where would you have me to go today? Who would you like me to talk to? Making God real. Is he real to you? In just a moment, the instruments are going to play. I trust tonight that if God has spoken to your heart, his thoughts to you, he just simply asks us,